thing I hate worse than profane prattlings, it's antipathies. Stop the profane prattling right now. How about some antipathies then? No, I want those stopped as well. Profane prattlings and antipathies. Done. We're done with that garbage. Woo, thank goodness too. Paul recommends dropping the profane prattlings. And I do too. Well, whatever, good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Yeah, I used to love profane prattlings. Let's prattle profanely, shall we? No, I don't want any more of that now. No longer do I want antipathies, too. Used to love antipathies. We used to have antipathy parties back in the day, you know. Some kids were smoking joints. Other kids were drinking beer. Me and my friends, we got together and hashed over some antipathies. Well, no longer. No, we're aware of 1 Timothy 6, verse 20 here. Listen to Paul. He says, O Timothy, that which is committed to you, guard, turning aside from the profane prattlings and antipathies of falsely named knowledge, which some are professing, as to the faith they swerved. Grace be with you, amen. That's 1 Timothy 6:20. That's 1 Timothy 6:20, all right? I'm going to explain this to you. I kind of rushed through this yesterday. Again, if there's anything I hate worse than prattlings, it's profane prattlings. Those are the worst kind of prattlings. Prattling, it's a kanophia. That's the Greek word, empty sound, nothing. Talking about nothing, arguing about nothing. You know that Paul is said to have argued in the scripture. It says Paul argued 11 times. Paul, that's the only time it's mentioned. I'm sure he argued 1,100 times, but it's only mentioned the word arguing 11 times. There's nothing wrong with arguing, but let's argue about things of consequence. I don't know how many times we've argued about what God said, and I said, wait a minute, this isn't even what God said. Let's look in the scripture and find out what God said first, then let's argue about it. And let's make sure it's consequential. Let's not argue about what days to observe, about the months and years and Sabbaths and new moons and all these things Paul warns us against. People argue about ridiculous things, and those are empty. Those are prattlings. That's what a prattling is. You're just talking about nothing. Empty sound. Kenophia. Keno, empty. Phonia, sound. Phonia, like a telephone. It's phonetics. It's a sound. It's an empty sound. And they're profane prattlings. Again, the worst kind of prattling of all. Profane is not held sacred. So this has nothing to do with God. And again, as I told you yesterday, it's not that we can't talk about other things beside God, but we need to focus on the things of God more and more and more, especially in these trying times. It's the only thing we have left. Everything's going to go south, people. The economy's going to blow up real soon. We're going to have a one-world government. You know, you're going to have to pay $100 for a loaf of bread. I'm not trying to bring you bad news here, but this ship's going down. We're on the Titanic, and there aren't enough lifeboats. But we do have a lifeboat. In fact, we have an ark, and the ark is the gospel of the Apostle Paul. Going to talk more about that, Paul, about how people forsook Paul. Well, how bold of, how audacious, how proud and really showboating of Paul to say it was my evangel, the evangel entrusted to me, the administration of grace that was given to me. To me, less than the least of all the saints, was granted this grace to bring the untraceable riches of Christ to the nations. To me. And the failure of Christianity is the abandonment of Paul. They haven't abandoned Christ. They haven't abandoned the circumcision gospel. They've abandoned grace. They've abandoned Paul, because the only place you're going to hear of transcendent grace is from Paul. So just stop prattling profanely. That's my recommendation to you. And antipathies. The Greek word is antithesis. Same English word. It's a transliteration, antithesis. In the English elements, there are instead placing. You're placing things instead of Christ. Oh, yeah, this word anti, this prefix here, anti is instead. You got to be careful, because Antichrist, I don't know if you know this, some of you may, Antichrist is not against Christ. That would be too obvious. But the end time deception is going to be so slick, it's going to be instead of Christ. Anti is the Greek prefix here. It means instead. It doesn't mean against. It's instead. Antipasta is instead of pasta. So, yes, the Antichrist will be instead of Christ. He will present himself as Christ, and it will seem like Christ. Everything Antichrist will do will be in the realm of Christ. Now, that brings us to the next point. Turn away from profane prattlings and antipathies of falsely named knowledge, which some are professing. Very interesting. Please pay close attention here. Falsely named knowledge. this end time deception and really the so-called truth going out in the church today is going to be in the realm of knowledge, but it's falsely named. Falsely named. You must understand this, is that the name is going to sound good. It's going to be Christian. That's a good name, isn't it? When you hear Christian, well, it must be good. No, it's a falsely named Christianity. Knowledge, what's wrong with knowledge? Come to our church for knowledge. No, it's falsely named knowledge. Truth, knowledge, Jesus. No, did you know there's a different Jesus? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to go there real soon here. There's another Jesus. It's a falsely named Jesus. This is amazing truth. If you understand this, grab onto this, you're going to save yourself, relatively speaking, from a evil generation. And the inhabitants of this generation, like those in the days of Noah, are going over the cliff. Lemmings following each other, sheep led to the slaughter over the cliff because they're following falsely named knowledge. Because they're hearing things that are tickling their ears. And they're forever learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. How can that be? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Forever learning, learning and learning and learning, constantly learning, reading the Bible 15 minutes a day and never getting the truth. What an amazing phenomenon that is. How can that happen? It's because it's falsely named knowledge. And Paul is warning Timothy to be guarding against it. That's how we started here in 1 Timothy 6:20. This relates to 2 Timothy, the topic that we're discussing, because Paul uses the exact terminology. 1 Timothy 6:20 says, guard that which is committed to you. And in 2 Timothy 1:14, the ideal thing committed to you, guard through the Holy Spirit, which is making its home in you. Now, warning against falsely named knowledge, which some are professing. Listen to this, last verse of 1 Timothy 6. As to the faith, they swerve. They swerve as to the faith. It's a departure from the faith. In other words, faith was the foundation, and it's a swerving from faith. And I will be so bold as to say, it is called faith. But it's not faith in Jesus Christ, it's faith in self. But again, as soon as you heard the word faith and knowledge and Jesus, you think, well, I got to be in a good place. But there's such a thing as falsely named faith, a falsely named Jesus, knowledge that is falsely named. And it's a swerve. Love this word here. This is what Paul says. As to the faith, they swerve, and it sounds good, and it smells good, and it tastes good, and yet it's antichrist. It's instead of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:13, one of my favorite passages in Scripture, because this is the secret to understanding what's happening today and to understanding why we need to go to the Scriptures very carefully and studiously and correctly cut the word of truth. Paul talks about false apostles. They're going to look like apostles, and they will even call themselves apostles, but they're false. Fraudulent workers. I'm in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. False apostles, fraudulent workers being transfigured into apostles of Christ. Apostles of Christ. So now we have falsely named Christians. This all goes back to 2 Timothy because, again, we're in days of apostasy. From turning. It's turning from the truth. But it's such a seductive turning from the truth that it is retaining the same terminology that you heard. It's retaining the word truth. It's retaining the word faith. It's retaining the word Christian and the word Jesus. But they have abandoned Paul. And they've taken on a religion of works. And they've taken the religion of works, the only true religion of works, which is Judaism, and they've even twisted that. And they've made it just like the Jews did before them. Christians today, they're grasping on to the circumcision gospel. And like their forefathers, they are using it as an occasion to boast in the flesh. Even those that embrace the circumcision evangel were supposed to abandon confidence in the flesh and rely on Jesus Christ. Yet this they did not do, seeking to establish their own righteousness, Paul says in Romans 9. They were not subject to the righteousness of God. That might be Romans 10. Read Romans 9 and 10 and you'll find what I'm talking about. So back to 2 Corinthians 11:13. False apostles, fraudulent workers being transfigured into apostles of Christ, and no marvel. Well, it shouldn't be a marvel to those of us who are tuned to this trick and this stratagem of the adversary. For Satan himself is being transfigured into a messenger of light. It's going to appear light, but it's falsely named light. It's called light, but it's a false name. But you won't know it's false unless you look underneath the surface, unless you investigate it. But if you do not investigate, if you swallow this information without investigation, you will be deceived. And our Lord said that the deception of the end times is going to be so slick and so seductive that even the elect would be deceived if possible. And it is no great thing then, 2 Corinthians 11:15, if Satan's servants are also being transfigured as dispensers of righteousness. Again, a falsely named righteousness. Everything today is false. I told you yesterday about, now maybe this was the day before, my ex-brother-in-law. It's so easy to be seduced into the false when you don't take the time or have the heart to investigate it. And if you're following the popular path, you are going to be deceived. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. And, you know, my ex-brother-in-law and others who are in this popularity club known as Christianity, you wonder how they just can't look up and say, what has happened? It used to be that the Beatles were more popular than Christianity. Now Christianity makes the Beatles look sick. It's the number one religion in the world, and you can wear jewelry and be ultra popular. And there's something deadly wrong with it. It's because there has been an abandonment of the Apostle Paul. Remember, we started this. The Asian saints had turned away from Paul. This was an apostasy from Paul's divinely bestowed revelation and authority. He had authority from Jesus Christ to bring a new message. Christianity has abandoned this message. And again, they've perverted the circumcision gospel. Here's a quote from Clyde Pilkington's book. He's quoting Francis L. Patton. Never heard of the guy. He was the president of Princeton University. And he said this, the only hope of Christianity, and I disagree with it already because there is no hope for Christianity. Christianity is a religion. It's a man-made religion. Jesus himself isn't a member of it. It's a club. It's a popularity club that thinks it owns the franchise on Jesus, but it doesn't. It's the way of perdition. It's the way of destruction. It's the wide way. Anyway, I'll finish the quote, give the guy a break here. The only hope of Christianity is the rehabilitating of Pauline theology. Well, he's got that right, but Christianity will not embrace Paul. They reject Paul because Paul is Mr. Grace. Paul is Mr. Absolute Viewpoint. Paul is Mr. God is in control of everything. Nobody wants to hear that because everybody wants to be in control of themselves and decide their own destiny. Then they call it salvation by grace. Sounds more to me like salvation by believing in Jesus Christ while everybody else goes to hell. And by the way, I am not a reformer. I'm a revolutionary. And so are you. The Christian religion is not going to be reformed. You're not going to get in there and change them. They're going to end up changing you for the worse. You have to get out of it. Come out of her. Come out of her. This is a revolution. You are now a new creation. You're not going to reform the old. We have been crucified with Christ. Embrace that truth with me, and let's get on with it.